He said this before we went on vacation. We were talking about something. And so for 10 days, I muddled in my mind, God, what was really going on in John chapter 9? And we'll go to John chapter 11. We'll go to John chapter 2. There's just some things that I want to point out. Okay? How many's ever carried guilt over something you've done or haven't done? How many still carry the guilt? How many have ever thought, because I sinned, God did something to me to get even? You won't respond to that, okay?
Not if you truly understand grace.
Yeah.
Allowed something to happen.
Yeah. Something negative. You know, the Bible does say what we sow, we're going to reap. But it doesn't say God is the one that's restoring what we're reaping. I want to deal with this because it's just kind of interesting, and I want to get it off my chest so I don't have to think about it anymore. John chapter 9, blind man. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciple asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but the works of God should be manifested or revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Turn back with me, or turn ahead with me, to John chapter 11. Verse number 4. And Lazarus had just died. When Jesus heard, he said, he was sick at the time. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, you have heard preachers preach that people are sick, diseased, broken, hurt, so God gets glory. Now, I want to tell you something, and please, before you stone me, understand what I'm saying. It's not the sickness, the disease, the pain, the suffering that brings glory to God through an illness. It's the attitude of the person going through it. You can be sick and be miserable and be ornery and be frustrated and be mad at the world, and God's not getting any glory out of that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Please hang on to this. Satan comes to what?
Steal.
Okay. So why would God get glory out of something the devil's doing?
That's right.
We okay?
Absolutely.
Why would God get glory out of something the devil's doing? Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said the last enemy to be defeated is death.
That's right.
Hebrews tells us that Jesus came to bring hope to those who all their lifetime were fearful of death. And so there's some things I want us to understand, and I want us to understand when people are going through things, it tells us very little about their character. You say, well, there has been an attitude in the church, especially at a time when the faith movement was exploding, is that if you got sick, you were a sinner. And you never confessed that you were sick, you just kind of lived with it. I told people in the church I was pastoring at that time, don't call me if you're not going to tell me you're sick. I don't want to be woke up with midnight just to talk to you. And so there are things going on, but very often people want to point their finger and say, it's for this reason, it's for that reason, or it's for this reason. The parents of this young man who was blind had sinned. They were born into sin. But that wasn't the reason for the blindness, Jesus was saying. There are things we go through because the devil seeks to kill, destroy, and steal. But there are things that we go through because it's part of life. And we need to understand what God gets glory from. Turn with me to John 2, verse 11. Then we're going to go to John 11. Let's go back to John 2 first. How many know that Jesus made wine out of water? What a wonderful party. Come on, lighten up. And the Bible says this in verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. This is the beginning of the signs. Go with me to John chapter 11. Again, the sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son may be glorified through it. Now, skip down with me to verse number 40. Okay, let's go back to verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Okay? How many has been to a cemetery and dug up a grave? No grave stealers. Okay. Thought I'd ask. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? God does not receive glory from what the devil's doing. God receives glory when he breaks the works that the devil's doing.
That's right.
So Jesus waited. His disciples believed that Lazarus was just sick. Finally, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Never tells his disciples what he's going to do, but he's going to see Lazarus. Now, here's what happens, and sometimes you'll read John 11, and I've read it over and over again, and then suddenly I'm start thinking, what does the crowd think of this? How many realize that you're being watched? And every good thing you do and every bad thing you do is measured, and your good things never outweigh the bad, okay, in the eyes of people. But I want to show you something here that was very interesting, because people are wondering about us Christians at time why we're not doing more. And it's not about doing, as I told the people last night, it's about being. But look at verse number 36 as Jesus is going to the tomb. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? I want us to understand there's a lot of critics out there. There's a lot of people who were looking at Jesus as he goes
to the tomb of Lazarus and said, man, this guy opened the eyes of the blind. Why didn't he come and heal this man? You okay? And so we've all had questions. And so Jesus comes to the tomb. Martha goes with him. Jesus says, okay, it's time to demonstrate the glory of the Father. He said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory? So he tells them to roll the stone away. As the stone is rolled away, Jesus prays to the Father, I'm not doing this for me, Father, I'm doing it for them. Don't miss that. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And so then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out all wrapped up, bound up in the funeral cloths. And then Jesus does something very interesting. He tells the people to loose him and let him go. You cannot look at everything going on and come to conclusions about what God is thinking or what God is doing or what is happening without divine revelation. There's a lot of things, and maybe you're like me, there's a lot of things I just want to ask God. But to think I think I'm going to be so relieved and if I get up there, when I get up there, I'm going to forget about things I was going to ask. I like to dance on those streets of gold. But for some reason, we look at things differently than God does. And we look at things like somebody made a mistake or somebody did this or somebody did that or I sure wish I wouldn't have done that and what if and if only. And we spend our whole life questioning the actions that we did instead of leaving them behind us and moving into today, because today's a whole new day, just like this new year is just beginning and God is giving us a new picture. He's giving us a new picture. And the things happening in your life, we need to learn how to deal with. Which is the best way that we can deal with anything is simply trust God. I was thinking, in February, my mom would have been 105. 105. It's a pretty good old age. I was going through some stuff in my desk yesterday afternoon, and I found her birth date and stuff. And I thought, wow. But there's only one good thing about it. She was born in leap year on the 29th, so she only had a few birthdays. I didn't have to buy presents up but every 4 years. But as we think of that and compare the Word of God with what we go through, God doesn't get glory out of people's sickness and even out of their death. God doesn't take us, God receives us. That's a beautiful part of what is going on, is God receiving his children. But what gives God glory? Let's look at that for a moment. What blesses you when you see it? Okay, Jesus came to break the control of Satan. Seeing people set free, coming to Jesus Christ, brings glory to the Father. God got glory out of seeing his son healing the blind man, raising the dead, casting out demons, healing the lame and the cripples, that brings glory to God. That's why through Revelation, as we talked about earlier, and as we start and we begin to move into what God really wants to do, he wants us to move ahead. He wants us to leave some things in the past. How many have ever forgotten things that happened to you that were negative? Or are they still there in your mind? You may not be living them, but they're still there. Are they there? How many of you can remember all the good things that's happened to you? Why? We live with a mindset of focusing, just like the world does at times, on the negative. I was frustrated last week when our president decided that he was going to turn against Israel. Remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those that do that prosper. And Father, protect your people. We're all his people, but there is a special time coming back into this world for Israel. And so pray for this country. But God, if he blesses those who bless Israel, must get glory out of people blessing his nation. And I believe the same thing about America. I believe without America, the missionaries that's been sent, the people that have been sent to the foreign countries, the people ministering, I believe that God has blessed America and will bless America, and is waiting for God to receive the blessing, waiting for America to receive the blessings. But what about your life? Are you living in the glory? Or are you living in the wondering why? I'm going to tell you something. You may think I'm a terrible husband, but I just want to be honest with you. I went through 2 months of being very concerned that Judy was going to die. I don't have that concern anymore. And if something would drastically go wrong, which everything is going up, I told the people last night that we just came from Dr. Oppenheimer in Sioux Falls, and he had told Judy that nothing could ever happen with her thyroid, and she was on 175 milligram. Is that milligram? Is that what pills are? Pill? Besides 500 of her husband, pill. And he looked at her one day in Sioux Falls and said, "Your thyroid's not getting better." She'd been on that pill ever since Moby Dick was a minnow. And taking that. And so before we left Sioux Falls last time, October, he came in and said, "I don't know, but I'm going to cut your pill down to, it was 185, I'm going to cut your pill down to 125. But your thyroid's not getting better, remember that." And so a week ago, when did I leave? 2 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday, we met Dr. Oppenheimer. He comes in and he looks at her and he talks to us and he says, "Okay, go." He didn't do anything. They did some blood work and said, "Come back in a year." I thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. And so when I was supposed to meet Curtis, He was being bored in Walmart on Friday. Poor guy, have to go shopping. And I really had sympathy for him. I went to get Judy's pills, her thyroid pill, because he had said, well, we'll just give you some temporary. We'll see what your blood work is. And so I went there and went to Walmart and going to pick up the pill, and no pill. Doctor hadn't called in. So I'm sitting there trying to argue with the pharmacist. You know how that is. I lost. I'm trying to talk to the pharmacist, and they're looking at me and say, well, we don't have an order. I said, well, you got something in there. Yeah, we got one from October that was 125. Yeah, I said, that's probably not the one. And so we go out to the car, and I call the doctor's office, and, oh, we're sorry. We have a pill, but we tried to call you. And I said, I told you we were going to be in Texas. Oh, yeah. They cut it to 75. And so there's a transition going on in her body. God receives glory out of healing his people. Sue, in Jesus' name. Everybody here, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let the presence of God and let your expectation level, we call that faith. Amen. Let your expectation level rise. You're going through something and you're wondering, is God punishing me? No, he punished Jesus for you. Understand? God is not a God that gets even. Or God's not a God that settled the score. He did that once on Calvary. And if we just learn to walk in what's been done instead of what we're trying to see him do, we are more than conquerors. God gets glory out of us accepting what he's already done. God gets glory when we stand on the promises instead of just sitting on the premises. God gets glory when we walk out this life and whatever we face and whatever we're going through. And he said, in the world you will have tribulations. There will be times of pressure. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. Amen. I've overcome it. And if you're hurting, and if there's pain, and if there's sorrow, he understands. Every once in a while, my mind goes back to the cross. It's out there. But I start thinking, God, you saw, and I just read it again this morning in the end of Mark, how they spit on him, how they beat him, how they slapped him, how they cut him and whipped him. And I just went through that and I said, Father, you looked at that. You watched that whole scene until on the cross, as he bore our sins, you must have turned away. Because he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. God has absolutely fulfilled everything we need to glorify him. We have everything that God wants us to have and is available to us at our disposal. Let's not settle for the least. Let's not come to a place where we just are so happy to be saved. It's so wonderful. It's the most wonderful miracle you can ever experience, but it's an opening of the door to more. And God doesn't want you to live in dissatisfaction. God wants you to live in expectation. He wants you to walk this out in his presence. Not looking back. Not looking back and say, man, when I was young, I did this and I did that. And I did. God says, that's over. It's over. He wants you to live now, in the present, in the power of Jesus Christ, in the glory of God. And I know those are just kind of terms that we use in Christianity, but it's really true. I know, because some of the things I went through, I've missed some of the things God wanted me to do through me. I understand that at times when I lost my focus, God was still there. He didn't abandon me. He didn't kick me out. He didn't say, hey. He walked through it with me. And right now, whatever you're going through, He's walking through with you. Let Him lead. Let Him lead. Don't make up your mind to do something that is against what you know God would want you to do. Make up your mind to walk in His presence and His anointing and His authority. Can we do that? And as messengers, don't change the message. Keep focused. That's the problem with the many, many things in America, that the church has changed the message. It's no longer about Jesus. It's no longer about our Heavenly Father. It's about my best social program. It's about how can I help you the most. And you may have a great social problem, but if the people are going to hell who's in your social program, what does it prove? And I understand we need to take care of people. I understand that. But the thing that needs to be taken care of most of all is spiritual encounters with God. And sometimes the social program will be the encounter, and sometimes the encounter will bring the social program. But let's focus on the spiritual. Next time you see somebody suffering or going through something, don't question what they've done. Just come to a place of laying your hand on their shoulder and saying, God, take care of them. It's a neat life. I know everybody's going to want to have lunch with me because I'm eating a bunch of oysters. My prayer for you is that you have the best year of your life ahead of you. And that you walk in the authority and power of Jesus Christ, that you have the gift of revelation and understanding and spiritual knowledge like you've never had it before. And that signs and wonders follow your life. You don't have to follow signs and wonders, but signs and wonders will follow you. You are loved. Happy New Year. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And God, I just thank you that you have this body here in Sisseton, and people come from all over this region. And Lord, the expectation is that there'll be more. The expectation is that we'll step into deeper waters, that Ezekiel will just come in effect when they had water up to their knees and then their waist, and then they were swimming in the presence and the Spirit of God. Amen.